This is The Invisible War with evangelist and author Dr. Rob Randall. There is a bigger battle going on in the world right now than we can even see. A battle that has existed since the beginning of time. This is not a war between countries, but an all-out assault on the very soul of people everywhere. Lives are being defeated and destroyed. Marriages are falling apart at an unprecedented rate. Children are rebelling against everything they've been taught. Addictions are rampant to everything you can think of. And all of this is the result of a spiritual war, which is the invisible war. And yet, there is hope. Rob Randall is a third-generation evangelist who has devoted his life to seeing people who have come to the end of themselves find a true life of promise and healing. The Invisible War is a journey that will lead us on the road to freedom and the path of fulfillment. There are no quick fixes, only a process, but it begins with the first step. So here's Rob Randall to take us through this journey one step at a time as we find hope in the Invisible War.
Well, what a wonderful day God has given us on the Invisible War radio program to share with you. Thank you for sharing with us your time. Time is precious, and so we do not take it for granted that you have decided to share your time with us. You will be so blessed today to hear the continuation of Taylor's story. It is a story of God's restoration, of His grace, of His power, of His healing grace. Now, if you have missed last week's program, I want to encourage you to go to our website, theinvisiblewar.org. That's theinvisiblewar.org. Click on the broadcast button, and you can download last week's program, and it's there for you at your convenience for free. Today, we bring to you the conclusion of her wonderful story. Welcome back to the studio, Taylor. So good to see you today. What a joy it is to continue our time together. As I shared last week, I have so longed for the day in which we could have you on the program and to share your story. To bring everybody up to date, last week we talked about how you were adopted into a wonderful Christian family. You had children of your own through rebellion that you adopted out. The generational issues of abandonment and all in your teen years because of a tragedy in your family. The pain was so great you turned to drugs, as so many do, to medicate your wounds. And drugs were waiting for you and didn't take long, did it?
No.
It was easy for you to follow that path. Now, you were married. Your husband, you and your husband had two children, and that's where I came into your life, as we shared last week. A mutual friend and counselor recommended that you and your husband come to me for a prayer meeting, and you did, reluctantly, and you came, as so many people do, just because you're in a mess. Not necessarily you wanted out of the mess. You did want out of the mess, but you just needed some relief, you know. And so you came for a prayer meeting. You came, you lost your marriage, as we shared. And anyway, you ended up on the streets. And in that time, you literally began to unravel. Everything began to unravel. Begin to share with us now about those times on the street.
I did whatever I needed to do to make ends meet, sold drugs and slept on people's couches and, you know, randomly got places here and there for a couple months at a time. And it was miserable, but just to drown the pain and the hurt and everything, I just continued to use and became very strung out and very, very crazy. I wound up in jail without any recollection of how I got there and wound up in Big Spring State Hospital from there.
No matter how many times, Taylor, that you would want to get well, you would still go back to the drugs.
Yeah.
You were very much an addict.
Absolutely.
And your parents called me and said, "She's back at it. We don't know what to do." I said, "Okay, it's time for a prayer meeting." I said, I told your parents, I said, "Get everybody that you know that's a prayer warrior." There won't be many, but everybody you know that's a prayer warrior, let's call a prayer meeting. I'll come to your town and let's gather together and intercede for Taylor. Now, you didn't know about this prayer meeting. You were out and about running and doing what you were doing and doing what the demons were telling you to do. Okay? They were out to kill you and kill everyone around you. And so your grandmother, your mom, your dad, a couple in their life group at church who are prayer warriors, and Patty and I want to say maybe one or two more, came to your grandmom's house, and we got a hold of heaven. And we just began to plead and to cry out to God for you. And I asked for revelation. I said, Lord Jesus, we need to know how to pray. We don't want to lose Taylor. The enemy's come to kill her and to kill all those around her, to kill our hope in you, to kill our faith in you by killing her. So, Lord, we need revelation. And so at that moment, we began to pray. And that was the shift. Now, things didn't get better immediately, but there was a shift. And all of a sudden, you ended up in jail. Then you couldn't run anymore. Now, your so-called drug buddies turned you in. Is that right?
No. I had been with some drug buddies and went to another house and was arrested, from what I understand, for trespassing. Mm-hmm. So
you were even scaring your drug buddies.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
really the point I was trying to make.
A friend of mine asked you, me to
things
leave.
Were getting so
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah, I wasn't stable at all. They didn't want me around.
Right. Even the drug culture didn't need people bringing attention
absolutely.
To them. And so these so-called friends of yours yeah. were glad that you finally ended up in jail.
Yeah.
There's a story. Share with me if you remember the story. Something about the Mexican Mafia. You remember that story?
I was told that someone gave me a hot shot. A hot shot is a mixture. It's presented to you as a syringe full of drugs, but it's a mixture of what can be lethal, a combination of whatever. I mean, people have put antifreeze, Visine, any mixture of stuff that can literally fry your brain or kill you and render you brain dead.
The story that I was told is that the Mexican Mafia came involved in a drug deal and they thought you might be a narc.
Yes.
And so they were either going to shoot you up
mm-hmm.
or kill you.
Yeah.
Is that the way
that's Because I actually wasn't doing drugs at the time. I was selling them to do what I needed to do, and they thought that was weird.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, it's amazing that you're here.
Absolutely.
God has done a wonderful, wonderful work.
Yes, he has.
And so your dad called me. You ended up in jail. We began to minister. Finally, you couldn't run away from Rob Randall anymore and our prayer meetings. And you were always so sweet. I want to say this. As crazy as things were, and they were wild, I remember the first time we met through the glass in the county jail. And the first thing you said to me, you may not remember this, you said, am I an Egyptian queen?
I don't remember.
And I said, no, and I don't want to hear that anymore in Jesus' name. So things had really gone off track. And let me just put it, you were going crazy.
Yes.
By any definition of a psychiatrist's report, you would be schizophrenic. You would be paranoid schizophrenic. You
manic, bipolar.
Manic, bipolar. All of those things would have fit you. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
All of that easily. So no doubt they had psychiatrists come and try to medicate you and try to get you through this crazy time. And Rob would come and we would have prayer meetings. And the Lord would meet us. You were always so precious to receive me. I want you to know, and I want everybody to know how grateful I am. Not just you received me, but you were willing to receive what I brought, and that was the ministry of the Lord. So you ended up in Big Spring State Hospital. Now, that's where we pick up the story from last week. And as we said last week, this is a place, for lack of a better term, of the castaways.
Yes.
It is society's answer. The best we know how to deal with those that we don't have answers for, that cannot function in society at any level. Some are healed, but generally speaking, and by the way, your psychiatrist, I don't know if you know this, told your dad, And it came to me that when people get this strange, when this get this crazy, they may never come back.
Yeah, he told me it was a miracle.
Yeah. And so here we are in Big Spring State Mental Hospital. And since I'm a minister, they give us a room. And they didn't bother us because they didn't want to mess with ministers. So anyway, they were glad I was there. They were very helpful to give us a room. And it was in that room that the Spirit of God met us. What do you remember about that moment?
I just remember just feeling just a heaviness about everything that I'd done, and just remembering being 6 years old and asking Jesus into my heart, and then just totally turning away from him, early teens. And throughout my life, I'd gone back and forth and just kind of feeling like the connection, like the Holy Spirit telling me, you know, you got yourself here because you continued to choose against what you knew and against what you promised me. And just coming to the end of myself and just wanting the life that God had for me, and knowing that it had been offered time and time again, and I chose my own way. And it was an awesome time. It was a hard time. I'd never gotten to the point to where I was willing to surrender everything. I'd always held on to something. And it was scary, but I finally chose that. I'd been presented the idea of his mansion back about 2 or 3 years before that, and had read all the rules and kind of laughed and said, there's no way I'll do this. And at this point, you had brought it up again, and I said, I want to go. You know, I want to do something to give myself a chance and give my kids a chance.
Now, let's back up just a minute. We'll tell the story of his mansion here in just a moment. But let me try to express that moment from my perspective when we were in that room. And Holy Spirit broke through the, you know, he's greater than the mental hospital.
Yeah.
he's greater than our past. He's greater than our pain. He's so faithful. And his love is so able to break through our fears. And in that moment, I prayed what I knew to pray, to ask the Lord to tear down all the strongholds and the barriers and all the blocks. And I'm not sure I understand all of it, but it works, okay? And so in that moment, heaven opened up, and I looked over. We'd been praying probably an hour or so. And I looked over to Taylor, and she had fallen on her face before the Lord. And her hands were lifted to heaven. And at that moment, Jesus came into the room. It was awesome. I mean, if I had lived 10,000 years, boy, I'd be old and ugly, wouldn't I? But if I lived forever, I couldn't praise the Lord long enough. And by the way, I'm going to live forever. And even forever is not long enough to praise him for what he showed me that day, when he came to heal you in that very dark place,
yes.
A place of hopelessness, a place of sadness. But Jesus was wonderfully greater. Now, we had two sessions there. We had two times, two prayer meetings, and each time God met us wonderfully. Now, in our time remaining, Taylor, I had encouraged you to go to a place that our son went to in New Hampshire called His Mansion. It is a Bible-based, faith-based ministry for young adults that have lost their way. Talk to us about His Mansion.
It's a beautiful place. It's a wonderful ministry. It's a place where I found, God met me there, and I found lots of friendships, female friendships that I had never fostered or been able to foster before then. God showed me that I wasn't alone in my pain or in my so-called addiction. He showed me just that he made me beautiful, and that I had to live that out in walking in his word and doing what he wanted me to do instead of doing what I felt like doing at times. It's an awesome place. It taught me work ethic. It taught me how to live with people that were very different than I was. But it taught me how to love people just in all, regardless of what they had been through or what was going on at the time.
Now, here's this West Texas girl headed to New Hampshire in the wintertime. Now, it's winter in New Hampshire, isn't it?
Oh, it's cold.
It's cold. It's ice. And it stays cold, doesn't it?
Yeah, for months.
And were there any other West Texas girls?
There was one.
One?
There was one.
Well, there you go.
Yes.
There
she
you
was,
go.
Yeah, she was North Texas, actually.
So they came from literally everywhere.
Oh, everywhere. From Washington to New York, mm-hmm. all over.
Mm-hmm. His mansion is a place of work.
Yeah, absolutely.
From morning to night.
Yes.
And it's a wonderful place. A place of prayer, a place of healing, a place of learning.
Lots of learning.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And your time finally came at a close to his mansion. And so here you are headed back home.
I actually left a month early as my mom was diagnosed with cancer. That was God's timing's crazy, but awesome. But I went back. They sent me back to graduate a month later, and life is good. And my children are absolutely elated to have their mommy back. I'm starting to get plugged into church, and it's amazing the difference. And I do feel like it was a miraculous healing in every way possible.
They have a mommy.
They have a mommy.
That they never had.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. One that doesn't run anymore.
No.
No.
I tuck them in, I get them up in the morning, make breakfast. It's wonderful.
And that is Jesus.
Yeah, 100%.
Jesus restores what the enemy steals. And he does it greater than even what was lost. So you pray with your babies?
I do. Every morning before school and every night before bed. Sometimes in between.
I've been in the home several times, and they don't like their mama to get in the car to leave without them.
Absolutely not.
They're afraid she might not come back, you know. And so tell us about your precious children.
They're beautiful. They're 9 and 6, and they are 90 miles an hour, and they want to spend every second that they can with me, and I love it.
The little girl, she's got a guy and a gal, and the little girl is Mini-Me. It's Taylor all over. And it's so good. Now we know how to pray.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
So good. Well, tell me now, day after day, what's life like now?
It's free.
In comparison to what it was.
It's free. And it's, I mean, I don't even know. Words can't describe how awesome God is and how much I don't feel trapped, and I don't feel the need to run, and I don't want to say I don't have a care in the world, but I trust God with my life now and don't have to depend on circumstances and depend on other things to find joy.
Are you an addict?
No.
No.
And I think that's silly too.
Isn't that good?
I think that's silly to claim that over yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Jesus heals. 100%. And restores.
Yes, he does.
Amen. And, are you a recovering addict? No.
I would say no.
Exactly. You are Taylor,
yes.
A child of the Most High God.
Yes.
A joint heir with Jesus. And everything that Jesus has been given by his Father is yours.
Yes.
It's yours. What does freedom look like? It is the ability to walk in that. To walk in our eternal destiny. It is to be able to walk in our divine destiny. Now, Taylor, there are folks that are listening right now that are moved, I am certain, as I am, as you have been, and sharing your story. And I want us to pray together. I want us to share a time, and I want you to lead us in prayer, and then I'll close us in prayer. Would you do that?
Absolutely.
Just pray. There's a gal out there that has lost her children, that's medicating herself, that doesn't believe there's any reason to live. And I want you to pray for that gal. Okay? Would you do that right now?
Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you today humbled. And I praise you for what you've done in my life, Lord. You are so real and so present. Lord, I lift up all the people out there that are struggling with anything that I've shared. I ask that you just help them feel that they're worthy. They're worthy because your son died for us and for them. Lord, I pray that you will get them to the point of surrender. I pray that they will realize that they have a reason to live. You are their reason to live. Lord, I pray that you will just show them what you have for them and help them not give up hope. Lord, I pray that you place someone in their life that they trust enough to talk to or to share with. And I just pray for a way out and a specific, very in-your-face way out so they will recognize it and can go, Lord, I love you so much. And I just thank you for what you're going to do in advance.
Now, Lord, we are so deeply grateful for meeting us, for enabling us to bring Taylor's story to all of us. Thank you for the encouragement it is to know that you are greater than our pain, our sorrow, our wounding. You're greater than the enemy's destiny for us. He has an evil destiny, and you're greater. You restore and redeem with your blood. And so, Lord, we thank you. Now, Lord, I ask if there's anyone that we are praying with today that's never come to put their trust and faith in you as Savior. Give them the courage right now. Would you pray this prayer with me? Words are not magic. God knows our hearts. Just pray the prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. That's right. Pray it with me. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I know that you love me because you died for me. I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I receive you as my Savior and my Lord. Now, if you're a believer, there's been a time when you received Christ as your Savior, maybe as a child. Would you just go back there right now? Would you humble yourself and present yourself to the Lord as a child? Would you do it right now? Pray this prayer with me. Father, I thank you for Jesus and for my salvation through him. He is the Savior and I am the sinner. I am so grateful to be washed in his blood. And because you have forgiven me, I choose to forgive others. Everyone who has hurt me, lied to me, or disappointed me, I forgive. I repent of unforgiveness. I know it is sin. I forgive myself and apply your great forgiveness to my life. I repent of anger, bitterness, and hatred, of rebellion, resentment, and revenge, of envy, jealousy, and strife, doubt, unbelief, and skepticism, of lust, witchcraft, and idolatry, and all the works of the flesh. I denounce the sins of my ancestors. I totally separate myself from generational curse. I announce all unholy vows, pledges, oaths, or ceremonies, and I choose to be free from all permission of secret society's curse. I denounce all unholy soul ties and confess them as sin. For Jesus Christ is my Savior and Lord. He is my deliverer and my healer, and he broke the power of all curses. I choose to be free, and I will be free in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Now, if you prayed with us today, would you call me toll-free, 1-877-808-8886. That's 1-877-808-8886. Or you can email me. Let me know of how God is moving in your life. Let me share with you in prayer. Would you do it? Share your prayer burdens with me. Go to our website, theinvisiblewar.org. That's theinvisiblewar.org. There you can email me with what God is doing in your life. Let me know. Would you do it? Would you do it today? Or if you don't have a computer, you can write me. Rob Randall Ministries, Rob Randall, P.O. Box 5. That's all you need to remember. P.O. Box 5, McKinney, Texas, 75070. I look forward to hearing from you. Do it today. I want to thank you so much for being a part of this ministry. Those of you that have sacrificed so faithfully through the months and years to keep this program on the air, I bless you in Jesus' name. There's no way we could have shared Taylor's story with so many except through this wonderful medium. So thank you for sharing. And for those of you that would want to come alongside of us, do it today. Do it today. Write us. P.O. Box 5, McKinney, Texas, 75070. Or you can make your contributions there on the website, theinvisiblewar.org. If you'd like to talk to me personally, call us toll-free, 1-877-808-8886. If you have any questions concerning the ministry, concerning prayer, concerning deliverance, concerning the freedom that is ours in Christ, contact us today. Now we look forward next time as we continue our study right here in the things of heaven on the invisible war.
This has been the weekly radio program called The Invisible War with Rob Randall. You don't have to live defeated, heartbroken, or in bondage to anything. Give everything you are to everything He is, and you will begin to see your life transformed into the life He has made you to be, for your sake and for everyone around you. Remember to check out theinvisiblewar.org for resources, podcast information, and just a place to let us know how to pray for you. We'll see you next time on The Invisible War.